Local ham radio operators, some also with the KVRS, and at least one member of the Coast Guard gathered at the site Tuesday morning. They were there to talk to ham radio stations around the country and the world, as well as to honor the history of the former station. As others set up an antenna on the communications van, Coast Guard electronic technician Mike Leska gave me a tour of the Point Higgins site.
There used to be barracks up there, a little dining facility. I think the CO had his own house. There were live watchstanders that stood a live watch 24/7 that would listen to the radio for distress calls, and they were also in charge of sending out broadcasts like weather information and maritime safety related notices and things like that.
Leska says over time and with improvements in technology, facilities were consolidated and the Ketchikan station closed. The Ketchikan site has two antennas and equipment is housed in a small container shed. Transmissions to that site are monitored remotely from Kodiak. Leska explains high frequency or shortwave radio.
The type of communications that we're talking about isn't really line of sight, point to point kind of stuff. This is a long distance, possibly trans-Pacific type communications. This is a open ocean kind of stuff. Some of the communications that come and go out of here could be anywhere in the Pacific.
Ketchikan radio pioneer Bob Kern says station NMJ operated in Ketchikan from 1941 to 1976. Kern is retired from the Coast Guard. He worked at the Ketchikan radio site from 1964 to 1966. He says at one time, about 25 people worked at the facility.
There was a cook and a chief engineman, and he had a couple of helpers. He, you know, keep the generators operating, and they tended to the mechanical part of the operation. And there was a couple of electronic technicians who maintained all the equipment. And it was great. I just loved it out here.
Kern says even though the buildings are gone and the forest encroaching, he occasionally visits the site, usually for berry picking. He says one walk sparked an idea.
I was saying, you know, this would be a great place to do some ham radio activities out of, and just for old time's sake to reactivate the site. So with the Coast Guard 225th birthday today, what better opportunity to do that?
Chris John is with the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad and a ham radio operator. He says the KVRS van provides support for local search and rescue efforts and is used for all types of communications. Though they don't usually rely on ham radios, John says a need is possible and Tuesday provided an opportunity to practice.
There's a potential of the hams coming in and assisting KVRS and also city agencies with communications. And so it's just partly to familiarize the newer hams in town and retrain the ones that have been here a long time and haven't done it for a while.
Gary Freitag is also a ham radio operator in Ketchikan. From the communications van, he spoke with other operators excited about the opening of the site, including Darlene in Dora Bay.
So it's going well then.
Yeah, Roger, you're S8. You're S8 in here right now, so nice strong signal.
So well, that's good. And so you're out playing and having fun and successes. I can't believe you are about the luckiest fella there is.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's fun.
While Freitag logged in the call signals for each operator contacted, Kern was in a tent next to the van setting up his radio equipment. Kern told me that he planned to primarily broadcast in Morse code in honor of the old days. In addition to Alaska, they were able to contact stations as far away as England and Japan. At least for a few hours, the Ketchikan site was brought back to life with the help of a few ham radio enthusiasts. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.